Natural disasters don't respect boundaries. Case in point, yesterday's magnitude 7.3 earthquake that struck along the Iran-Iraq border. The quake's epicenter was on the Iraqi side, but most of the people killed were in Iran. The death toll is in the hundreds and still rising, according to Iranian officials. G.R. Gol joins me now to talk about this disaster. G.R. is with our colleagues at the BBC's Persian service, which has been focused almost exclusively on the quake today. First of all, where have most of the casualties been, GR?
Well, most of the casualties are coming from the mountainous border Kurdish region of Iran. As I am talking to you, the number is rising hour by hour. I have received many videos and material from people underground, local journalists. Unfortunately, BBC couldn't go there. The Iranian regime doesn't allow us to go there. But we have been talking to so many contacts, so many people we know in the region. They are sending us video. It shows the region has been devastated, and particularly in the villages. And one of the video was showing a lady talking to the camera, was saying 21 people died in this village. We pulled them out by our own bare hands. No one came here to help us. Another video, a man in from another village was saying they have lost 5 people in their village. They need food. They need tents, and they said no one have come to help them. As I told you, it is a impoverished region. Even the hospital in Sarpul al-Zahab, the major city, has been affected the most. It's almost completely destroyed. I saw a video, tens of bodies were laid in front of the building because the hospital itself has to be evacuated.
And is the government responding to what you're hearing from people in the field, that they haven't seen any government rescuing attempts?
I think the resources from the government has been focused on the major cities. What I'm talking about is about the remote villages, which has been cut off.
Right.
Their water, their electricity has been cut off. And some of those people who are calling us, Ashi, they say nobody have reached them.
And those reports are coming from where? Social media or wire services that are able to get into those remote areas?
Well, we have many, many journalists, local journalists, and reliable sources within that region. They're talking to us. But what I'm talking about, I am myself actually from that region. I have family members in that region, and we have been calling them and talking to them and asking them, how is the situation? How is the response? How is the emergency servicing?
Yeah. Is your family okay, though?
They are fine, actually. Last night, they were in the major city in Kermanshah because the earthquake, yes, it shook the city. Some wall cracks, window broke. But there was numbers of earthquake with the lower magnitude before the main one, 7.2. That's why some people, actually, they got it as a warning shot. They left their houses. Possibly it has contributed to lowering the casualty. So they spent most of the night last night. They slept in their cars and outside.
So this region, just tell us a little bit about it. Is it particularly earthquake prone?
Well, the region is on Zagros Mountain. Of course, it's being built on a fault line. But in the last 100 years, actually, we didn't have such a powerful earthquake in that region. By the way, the earthquake didn't affect just Iran. It affected actually Iraqi Kurdistan as well, because exactly the epicenter is in the border, in the Ezgel. There's a small town between Iraqi Kurdistan and Iranian Kurdish region, a mountainous region. Two major cities in Iraq, Halabja and Darbandikhan, were affected as well. They were as close as other Iranian city, which has lost many people. But it seems the building codes in Iraqi Kurdistan is much stronger and much better than Iranian Kurdistan. That's why we see such a high number of casualties in Iranian Kurdistan. Yet in Iraq, we only had 7 people died.
G.R. Gol reports for the BBC Persian service. Thanks very much.
Thank you.